So he's saying, you know, it isn't about, you know, your title. It isn't about the, thank you, Dan. It isn't about your title, and it isn't about how you look, the vestments that you put on. It's about what is really going on in the Spirit of God. What is the Spirit of God doing in your life? And this is, I'm going to tell you something this morning. We need a work of the Holy Spirit in our lives mightily. You know, we all, you know, we come to church, and a lot of us, it's not, you know, what is going on in the week doesn't reflect how we are on Sunday when we're in church, right? The things that we say, the things that we do. And then in verse 12, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. So Jesus is calling them out and saying, you guys, because of how you're living, you're closing your own relationship to God. You're cutting off that relationship with Him, and by the way you live, and so people are watching you, and they think you're a hypocrite, and so they say, why should I have to, you know, live a pious life according to the Scriptures? All I have to do is be a hypocrite, just like you, Rabbi. So Jesus was calling them out for that. Now I want to tell you something, guys. I'm a hypocrite. And I'll tell you that honestly, you know, and there's times in all of our lives, every one of you, since you became a believer, where you can sit here and you go, in all honesty, I'm a hypocrite at times too. And so let me tell you something. I want to ask you a question. What's the speed limit on the freeway? What is it?
75?
85? There basically, there is no speed limit. But what does the law say?
65.
Okay, 65. Let's say it's 65, okay, just for argument's sake. All right. So, you know, when we teach in the Word, when we're telling you that you're to obey the authorities, the civil authorities, and the lawmakers, we're to obey them, and we're to do what they tell us to do. So when I'm driving 72 miles an hour this morning on the freeway, and I'm telling you guys that you need to obey the civic laws, I'm a hypocrite, because my actions are not lining up. Now, I have a lead foot, guys, and it's not intentional. It really isn't. But when I was tipping 80, I started backing it down. You know what I mean? To back to 72, because that's... And people sit there and they go, okay, well, 70 miles an hour is the speed limit. So they think, okay, 70 miles an hour, so I can go 72 to 74. Wait a minute. The limit is what?
65.
Okay, 65 or 70. But the less the limit. You're not supposed to exceed the speed limit. So when I'm driving 72, and I'm telling you guys that you ought to obey the civil law, I'm being a hypocrite, aren't I? Okay, so all of us, see how simple that is? By us, and when we know to do right, he that knows to do right and doeth it not, to him it is sin. It's a wrong thing. So I know what's right, and when I don't do it, I'm sinning. Being a representative of the Lord God is an awesome responsibility, and it's assigned by God really to all of us. You know, it's not just Pastor Dan, myself, or Pastor Fernando, or any of the other, you know, leadership. It's all of us. Every one of us are his representatives. And so we need to, you know, ensure that the life we lead really backs up what we're talking about. When you take on the moniker of being a Christian, you agree to live a lifestyle in accordance with the faith. So your lifestyle needs to back up what you know to be in the Scriptures. 1 John 3, 9-10 says, everyone who has been fathered by God does not practice sin, because God's seed resides in him, and thus he is not able to sin, because he has been fathered by God. When it says he's not able, it says he is not allowed. That word means he's not allowed to sin. Not he's capable of sinning. Of course he's capable of sinning, but he doesn't have the right to sin, because he has been fathered by God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are revealed. Everyone who does not practice righteousness, the one who does not love his fellow Christian, is not of God. Too often there are those, and I'm going to quote, Pastor Dan was mentioning J. Vernon McGee, something J. Vernon McGee used to say about these Christians that are, you know, kind of hypocritical. He says, they go about Monday through Saturday sowing wild oats, and then come to church on Sunday hoping for a crop failure. Yeah, I agree. That's pretty cute. I like that. We are not talking about those who are caught up in sin, and we do all do that, right? One of the things, you know, I know what the Bible teaches about sin, and one of the things that when I came to Calvary Chapel Romaland, my wife and I had served at another church served at like 5 or 6 Calvaries, but this particular one, we were there 17 years, and one of the things that we're teaching was sinless perfection, which is not biblical. It's not scriptural. The idea that you, once you become a Christian, you never sin again. Well, we came to You Turn for Christ on a Friday night service, and John Leno was up there singing that song, I'm a Sinner Man, right? And stuff. And my wife and I heard that, and we were like doing this one, and they're like, yeah, they got it, you know? Because we are. We're sinners. We're sinners saved by grace. And the only difference between us and anybody else that's in the world is the fact that we are now covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. The grace of God is upon us because we've received His Son as our Savior. First John 1:16 says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So what we say and what we do has got to be the same thing. You know, if we're going to profess Jesus Christ, we're going to have to look at what He has said in His Word. That's why it's so important, brothers, to be in a steady diet of the Word of God. Whatever Bible study you choose to go to, you know, come in here on the one Saturday out of the month is not enough. Going to Sunday is not enough. When my wife and I really got serious about Jesus Christ, we met a couple, Tony and Peggy Estrada. And Tony and Peggy set an example for us in being sold out for Christ. And we wanted, they were, as the church doors were open, they were there. You know, so we were, you know, in church 5 days a week, you know. We were constantly going in and saturating ourselves with the Word of God. And it's so important for your growth. You need that steady diet of the Word. Now, often I have seen in those who have gone through the You Turn for Christ ranches and have lost the support of their families due to their sin and addiction, I've seen an attempt to fool their family in an effort to garner their support once again. And you cannot keep up the pretense forever, brothers. I don't care how great an actor you consider yourself to be. Eventually, they will see through the facade, and the separation between you and your family will be wider and firmer than ever before. This isn't something that you can do just to, you know, get them to back you up once again, or to feel like, you know, they're welcoming you back into the family. There's a separation that has happened between you and your family members because of sin, you know. And it's not just people in the program. This is husbands that have you know, had issues with their wives. They've hurt their wives. They said, you know, maybe verbally they've abused them. You know, they've not been the spiritual leader that they should. You know, they haven't shown them the love and care that they should for them. And there's a separation. And that wall that you build up separating between the two of you, it doesn't just come down because you go in and you send them flowers or you say nice things about them. You know, it took you a long time to build that wall up, and it's going to take a while for it to come down, but it's going to be the consistent, steady example that you lead in being there and being that godly man that the Bible tells you to be, that's the thing that's going to take down that wall and restore that relationship once again. Now, your spiritual transformation must be legitimate. If you try to fake your spiritual condition, you are only deceiving yourself. Now, I want you all to realize that there is not one person here today, including pastors, that have not been guilty at one time or another of the sin of hypocrisy. As long as we carry this body of sin and death around with us until the day we are delivered into eternity with Him, we will be tempted at times to put it on, you know, so to speak. You know, we all know the Christian lingo, don't we? You know, we've got that down. And when we're in a conversation with somebody, we can come up with the verses, we can come up with the Christian ease, you know, to speak to people. And here's something really important. The enemy loves to put us into this trap of saying one thing and living in an entirely different manner. Okay, so here's what we're going to do this morning. You know, I believe every one of you have been battling this at some time. And it's a real temptation to get caught up into that, into getting into the routine. And instead of every morning coming to the place where I say, Holy Spirit, you know, this is my day. This is the day you've given me in order to be a servant of yours, to be an example to others, and to live a godly life. And I want to surrender this day to you. What we do is we get up, and what's the first thing we do? We're about everything that's about me. I got to get up, and I got to take care of this, and I got to do this. And I'm in my own power. I'm in my own effort. I'm doing it myself. Instead of allowing the Spirit of God to be the one to really lead and guide me. So what I'd like for you to do, if you're fighting this battle of hypocrisy in your life, I want to pray for you, but I want you to do this. I want you to stand up. I want you to, you know, this is between you and the Lord. I want you to stand up and just acknowledge that this is an area of your life that you would like to have prayer for. Because we all need the strength to fight against this weight that can so easily beset us. And I'm placing myself along with you because I need God's help in living a life free from hypocrisy. So why don't you stand up right now? I want you to know something. There's hope. Jesus was calling out the Pharisees, but there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus. And Nicodemus was a member of the Sanhedrin. He was an important person in Jesus' time. In John 3, it says that he came to Jesus by night and speculated that he may have done that because he did not want to be seen by others going to Jesus, you know, and seeking Jesus out. Because he was a representative of the Pharisees. He was a representative of the Sanhedrin. He was a representative of the religious elite of the day. And so he didn't want to necessarily be seen by them in the daytime, so he chose to go to him at night. And what's really important is John 3:16 comes to us out of that talk that Jesus had with Nicodemus. One of the most blessed verses in the whole of Scripture came out from that particular time when Jesus was with Nicodemus. And then interestingly, in John chapter 19, it says that Nicodemus became a disciple. And he was a follower of Jesus. So there's hope. There's hope for a Pharisee called Nicodemus who showed himself to be one that was not, was afraid of what others would think of him, but who came out and stood out for Jesus later and claimed himself to be a disciple of his. And then in Proverbs 28:13, it says, whoever conceals his sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces his sins finds mercy. And it's really important for us to remember that there's mercy at the cross. There's mercy in Jesus Christ. He doesn't matter what we've done in the past, we can start today and we can start living that life totally given to Him. So let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for these guys. And Father, all of us have been in that position where we've lived a life of hypocrisy. And it's so subtle, Lord God. It's so easy for us to get caught up in that. And Father, none of us are without sin. None of us are in that position where, you know, we don't sin. We all sin and fall short of your glory all the time. And we need to come back to that place. And we need to get right with you, Lord. We need to live daily a life given to you, a life free from putting on a mask and wearing a front in front of others when deep inside we're not what we're professing to be. And so, God, I just pray for all of us that you, Holy Spirit, would speak to us about those areas where we're not what we should be, that we're living a life of a lie, basically, before others, and our profession is not what it should be, God. I just ask that you would deal with each one of us, forgive us our sins, show mercy to us, Lord, restore us, give us a sense of that right relationship with you once again, restore us to that path of living every day for you, getting up in the morning, Holy Spirit, and surrendering our day to you and giving you free rein to do whatever you choose to do in our lives. Father, I thank you for these men, and I pray that you would bless them and bless their families, Lord. Thank you for the restoration work you're doing with all of those that have blown it in their own relationship with their wives and their children and maybe their parents and other siblings. God, I pray for restoration. I pray, God, that you would, Father, just help the men as they're speaking to their families, maybe tomorrow when their families come to visit, that what's reflected would just be genuine. That the families members would see such a transformation in the lives of these guys, and it would be the real deal. Wouldn't be a put on. It wouldn't be something they have to work up, because it just flows. That's the way it is with you, Holy Spirit. When you're in our lives, this is so clear and it's just so evident. And so, God, that's what we're looking for. We're looking for more power in the Spirit and a more closer walk with you than ever before. Father, bless us and continue to give us a sense of your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, guys, have a seat, and we're going to do communion. I'm going to have to move this. First Corinthians chapter 11. Paul is telling the church in Corinth that he, you know, he's received this from the Lord, and he's going to share it with them in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup when he had supped, and this cup is the New Testament of my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. In Hebrews 9:22 it says, without the shedding of blood there is no remission. There is no remission of sin. So it's so important for Jesus to go through what he did so that our sin issue could be dealt with once and for all. So Pastor Fernando, I think, is going to be doing a song, and while the implements are being passed out, I want you to be just in prayer. This is a time for us to make sure that as believers our hearts are right with the Lord. And if there's something that you need to get right with him about, just take a few minutes and just be in prayer and before we partake, all right? Go ahead. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Let's take the wafer. Father God, we are so grateful to you for your Son Jesus and for his sacrifice for us, Lord. And we remember all of the things that he did and that he took upon himself in submitting himself to the cross and to the prelude to that, Lord, when he was buffeted and beaten for us. And you know, he was placed upon that cruel cross to and endured all of the suffering and all of the pain on our behalf, and his flesh broken and torn for us. And you know that the fact that our Lord will carry those scars, you know, with him, you know, that you know all this that he endured for us, Lord, what a blessing to know that we have a Savior that would be willing to do that, to sacrificially endure all that so that we might come to a right relationship with you. And we just receive the bread this morning and as a remembrance of what our Savior has done for us. And thank you. Go ahead and partake. And now, Lord, as we hold this cup, it is another way that we remember the sacrificial atoning work of the cross and what that means for us, the remission of our sin issue, the cleansing and the bringing us back to a right relationship with our Father God. And we thank you for Jesus, for being willing to spill your blood on Calvary for us. And we just want to always remember what you did for us, because as we do, Lord, it's just that gratitude of our hearts to know that the love of God was displayed in such a mighty way so that we might inherit eternal life and we might have a right relationship with you forever. So, Lord, as we partake, we do remember you in Jesus' name. Let's partake. All right, brothers. Listen, I want to tell you something real quick about something Pastor Dan shared about the prayer list. When 2 years ago, this coming Thanksgiving, I had a stroke, and one of the things during all that time I was in hospitals was really important for me was to know that people were praying for me, and I was getting notices from Africa, from the Philippines, you know, from Thailand, you know, all over the world, that there were groups of people, churches, all praying for, you know, my issue and my condition. So when Pastor Dan is telling you, take advantage of this, put your prayer request on there, and you're going to have a whole group of people in the body of Christ lifting up your need and your situation before the Lord. So take advantage of that, brothers. That's what it's there for. So there's people that love to pray for you to be intercessors. So take advantage of it.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Pastor Phil. Guys, just a couple quick announcements. Next month,